and welcome now to the midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and Olga Karin is with me. Welcome back.
She's Thank you.
Intently studying, you know, the latest developments on the cell phone, such as the life of the international artist. But that just means that you're well occupied, right? A lot of concerts.
A lot, yes. I'm quite busy, and I love it.
Well, good. That's the piece that you're going to be playing this weekend is Rachmaninoff, which is having kind of scanned through your upcoming concerts. I don't see that anywhere else on your concert.
Not upcoming, but I actually opened the season in Alaska, in Anchorage, with this piece a couple of weeks ago, and then after that, I played it with Nashville Symphony. It's my third time in the States this season. I'm performing this piece.
Oh, that piece? Yes. I can't resist a digression. I saw somewhere that you have performed in 49 of the 50 states. So which one is left? Do you know?
I think the states, the only states which I never visited, I don't know. I don't even remember if I've been in South Dakota.
South Dakota, it's on the way to
North
so
Dakota,
many places.
I've been there, but
you'll have to rectify that. I'm sure somebody there would love
to hear
you.
I'm sure. Yes.
You have a complete set.
There's always a piano somewhere, at least.
Oh yes, they do have them in South Dakota.
Yeah, yeah.
The name of the concert, October 17th, 18th, and 19th at Overture Hall, Madison Symphony, is called The Russian Spirit, and it is all Russian music, includes, can it be true, the first time ever that they're playing the suite from Swan Lake by Tchaikovsky, and the Shostakovich Sixth, and then Rachmaninoff's Concerto Number 1 for piano, which is it's a fascinating piece. Rachmaninoff was kind of disappointed in the American reception of that concerto. He said that when I tell people I'm going to play one of my concertos, I always see disappointment in their faces when I say it's the first one, even though he really liked this concerto. But for some reason, it didn't catch on in America.
Yeah, you know, I am just so sad that he had so many disappointments with his music, because unfortunately, probably that time, people were just, they just needed something beautiful, like a popular music of our time, which was his second concerto,
sure,
of course.
Sure, follow those melodies.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the first one, I think, is really a very beautiful and treasure in his music.
It's rhapsodic, isn't it?
It's
kind of
so, it's like an improvisation, mm-hmm, in the way.
Right, yeah.
It's his Opus 1, and he revised it later in his life. And actually, in Russia, there are a third edition as well. But here in the States, we know only two editions. We are, of course, performing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the second version. It's a later version. It's more complicated. And actually, it sounds better, I think, than his early original composition. And what he did, he put in that second revised version much more of that complicated Rachmaninoff language.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, probably because he performed his second version in the States. And this is why maybe a lot of people were not satisfied with this, because it was just too difficult to understand, especially the third movement. There are so much notes, and also not only for piano, but also for the orchestra. It's not an easy, mm-hmm, to perform. And but I think, because of his second movement in this concerto, I forgive him everything, because he gave for each pianist who is performing this piece, for every pianist, is that we have an opportunity to start the second movement. It's piano solo, and it's such a beautiful solo. It's such an improvisation, and it just goes and it flows, and it's such a beautiful music, which then later in the movement will be repeated by violins. And that contrast between the piano at first and then violins in the end, it just makes me feel so special, because he put the piano as a special part. And not so many of his compositions actually starts the second movement with the solo melody, you know?
Right.
Because we know the second concerto is accompaniment
sure,
in the beginning
sure,
of
sure.
the second movement. The third concerto mm-hmm. is not really much of the melody there in the second movement, because there's a conversation between orchestra and piano all the time. And then the fourth, the same way. It's piano-orchestra, but and Rhapsody, there is no second movement, of course, in the Rhapsody and Timba Paganini. It's variations.
Right, right.
And this is why this first concerto is so unique, because the second movement is mostly as a piano. And it's just so special.
Well, I mean, don't you get a cadenza somewhere in there, too?
Oh, cadenza in the first movement is, for me, it's a dramatic point of the whole composition. It's a big cadenza. It's the same cadenza as later he will be writing for his third concerto. It's this difficulty emotionally and technically. It's everything in there. And he actually, I think, got as example his first concerto when he was writing his third concerto, because the form of the composition is exact the same.
And he
it's
got the,
just bigger. You know, the third concerto is bigger. But in general, the form is the same.
I have heard that he got the idea for the form for the first concerto from Grieg's piano
concerto. Of course. Grieg was one of his most favorite composers. And if you hear Rachmaninoff's cello sonata, it's so much of that Grieg's violin sonata.
Is it? His,
it's like, because Rachmaninoff recorded it with Kreisler.
Oh, did he?
Number three, Greek sonata, and
wow, what a combination!
Oh my God, that just sounds so beautiful, but so Rachmaninoff in the way,
sure.
And you feel that yes, it's definitely a Greek composition, but at the same time, it's not Greek, because when Rachmaninoff performs something, he transforms it the way it sounds Rachmaninoff. Always.
Sure, I
with all his solo recordings, we know Schumann Carnival. It's Rachmaninoff Carnival, you know. And Chopin's Second Sonata is the same way.
Did he
so
record the Schumann Carnival, the whole thing?
Yes.
Oh, really?
It's
that
an
must
amazing
be to hear.
Recording. Amazing recording. But if you try to copy some of his ideas, it just doesn't sound same.
That's so often
because
true.
For him, it sounds convincing. When you hear him doing it, it's so convincing. When somebody else doing it, it just doesn't make any sense. And this is why when I hear Grieg sonata, when he's performing with Kreisler, and then when I perform Rachmaninoff's cello sonata, it sounds so similar, these two compositions. And I believe that, yes, Rachmaninoff was so intrigued by Greek music, and definitely Greek concerto is one of the examples for sure for his first concerto, because even the beginning,
sure,
it's the same way he wrote it, with that chords in the introduction. It's the same thing. It's very similar.
And yet it sounds like Rachmaninoff. It's just a matter of form. It's not
exactly,
a matter of content.
Exactly, exactly.
Sure. Well, let's hear some of you. You have a variety of CDs here, both individual performances and with orchestras. And at hand we have, speaking of Rachmaninoff's transcriptions of short pieces by various other composers, including Franz Schubert. And this little piece called, Whither or Wohin.
Wohin, yeah, it's a wonderful piece.
And let's hear this combination then of Rachmaninoff and Schubert and Olga Karin.
Thank you.
Well, there's certainly a lot of Schubert in that.
Yes, definitely.
is the sheer delicacy, especially of those high treble parts, is that a little hard to pull off?
Oh, definitely. It's not easy. It's not easy how he wrote, the way he wrote, is like crossing hands all the time. It's quite challenging, but it's really exciting.
Does Rachmaninoff write for people with big hands?
I don't think necessarily you need to have a big hands. I mean, of course, it's helping when you can reach more than an octave. But I know a lot of pianists who are doing fine with smaller hands, and they're playing it. Yeah.
What are you playing these days? I mean, this is from about 10 years ago, and we'll hear some more.
I'm doing recording? All preludes, Rachmaninoff preludes.
I was wondering about, so including the one that he called It.
Yes. Yes.
That notorious one that he grew to, I guess, dislike.
Dislike, no. No, everything, yes, all of them. Yeah.
And were they at all, they don't sound at all like Bach. Was the idea, though, inspired by the Bach preludes as it was for other composers?
I'm sure he was always inspired by Bach because he was the most important composer for a lot of Russian composers that time. They studied Bach a lot. And I think, of course, he loved Chopin.
Sure.
And I'm sure some of the ideas came from Chopin preludes, of course. That time, Russian composers like to work on the miniatures, and as we know, Scriabin preludes as well, and Lyadov preludes. They like to write miniatures because they were such masters of it, because they could put in a small piece so much emotions and images that it was enough. For 5 minutes of all of that, sometimes crazy drama or beauty and lyrical different image. And it was enough for them that time. And I think every prelude he wrote is a masterpiece. And of course, my goal in life is to perform all Rachmaninoff music.
I was wondering about that, too. How much is there?
I still have some of his Moments Musicals, Opus 16, I need to finish. And then Etudes Tableaux, Opus 33 and 39. I play some of them, but I want to have the whole set. And then there will be only Opus 10 and Sonata Number 1. And that's it. That will be because I am playing almost all Rachmaninoff songs. I did a lot with different great singers. And then I did, of course, cello sonata, and I recorded it on Sony.
Is there some last year? Two piano sonatas?
And the piano suites, two piano suites, mm-hmm. which I did also already.
Oh, did you?
Love them.
With another pianist, or did you overdub?
Yes. Oh. I did it with some of my friends when I studied at the conservatory. And then we did some excerpts, some parts of it for Van Cliburn special concerts when we did four gold medalists. I think it was like 5 years ago. We did a great special concerts for Van Cliburn concert in Fort Worth. And I did with Joseph Egali. And it was real fun. It was great. And then I did Rachmaninoff's trio, and all that chamber music I already performed.
Corelli Variations.
And Corelli Variations, I recorded it, one of my first discs. Actually, on transcription discs, I have Corelli Variations. Sorry, I didn't mention, I didn't record another variations on a theme by Chopin. But it's a shorter variations, and... I know I'll do it, of course. But there are some, yeah, still some work. And of course, I'm not only performing Rachmaninoff. Of course, I have a big repertoire. And doing next season a lot of Beethoven sonatas and Mussorgsky pictures on the exhibitions. And
which is wonderful in the piano original, isn't it?
It's fantastic. So I love it.
The Ravel is
Ravel is great, but I think the original piano score is just amazing.
It's he breaks some rules.
Oh, yes. And I perform a lot of different things, and also for the orchestra as well. But of course, my goal to finish all Rachmaninoff music at some point in my life.
To actually to record it all.
Yes.
That would be
That would be amazing. I still didn't record all Rachmaninoff concerti, which, of course, I'm performing all of them. And but it's in the talks, and I hope it will happen soon. That project. Because it's very important for me.
Are you still recording with Harmonia Mundi?
Yes.
Well, great label to have on your side.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Well, here's some more. Let's see. This is Rachmaninoff himself, and a little piece that you see occasionally, though not all that often, which is Lilacs. And so which category does this come under? Is it just a miniature in its own right, or is it part of a collection?
It's his song originally for
it's a
soprano.
Song,
and I did the song with Kathleen Battle when we played together a recital at Carnegie Hall. We put a few Rachmaninoff songs, and one of the songs were Lilacs, because I told her that you need to do Lilacs for me because I love this piece. And because Rachmaninoff transcribed it for the piano solo, and this is why it's so unique, because you are actually a singer on the piano. You know, you are a singer and a pianist together, and this is why this transcription, this miniature, is so great and so important.
So here it is, Olga Karin playing Lilacs by Rachmaninoff. Sweet and delicate, which shows you that Rachmaninoff was not all big clusters of chords.
Oh, yeah, he had such a huge but the same very delicate, sensitive heart. Yeah.
Before you take off, which I know you have to do shortly, I wanted to ask you about aspiration.
Yeah, this is my foundation. I founded with my brother in 2012.
He's a conductor.
He's a conductor. He is residing in Russia, in Moscow, and he has an orchestra there. And we are helping not only kids and not only Russian kids, but of course musicians, musical kids, but also musicians who needs help.
That would cover a lot of them.
Yeah, and not only just the young ones, but older, like orchestra musicians who lost their jobs because of many orchestra had a lot of difficulties. And by this time, it's also happening, unfortunately. It's not only in the past, but it continues, that financial crisis.
In Russia in particular.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And all over the world.
Well,
it's
true,
just,
yeah.
Unfortunately,
the orchestras are
yeah.
shrinking, aren't they?
Yeah, and we are trying to support them as much as possible. And then I'm giving concerts of fundraisers for the foundation. And I'm including also sometimes my son. We perform together because my son is 15 and he's at Juilliard Pre-College already, his
wow.
fourth year. And
so we got the genes.
He's performing really well. And we are doing sometimes four hands. Performing together in the concert.
In concert, you perform
yeah,
with your son.
Yeah, it's cool. It's so special. It's great. And of course, people love it. And we have couple of concerts already together, and he's performing himself as well. And sometimes we're dedicating the concert to the foundation.
Very nice.
And then the money goes to the foundation. And yeah, I'm very proud that I gave a lot of scholarships already to a different international kids and students older age. And we helped with my brother to raise money for one prodigy who played guitar, classical guitar, incredibly. And then he lost his fingers in the winter time because he's a Russian guitar player, and it's just some kind of strange situation, I must say. And it's difficult to explain exactly. Some people would not even understand how it's possible, but people are got frozen there.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yes.
And this is what happened with his hands there. And to get money for the operation, it was a lot of money. And we were working with different foundations to get this money.
To restore his ability to play the guitar?
Yeah, it's the only hospital in Minneapolis which is doing these things, and just to send him there and do the whole operation. He didn't lose his fingers, thank God. And they did the miracle. Now he's in the process of recovery. Hopefully he will play guitar again. But he was absolute genius what he was doing. He was playing Paganini caprices on the guitar, like Paganini, you know.
Yes. Paganini
and
loved
this
guitar.
This is what we are trying to do. Mm-hmm. And when sometimes I'm sitting in a jury of international competitions, I also try to be involved in a prize process. We always have our Aspiration Foundation special prize awarded to one of the kids. And it's working really well. I'm so happy I can help, at least somehow, at least little, you know. But
sounds like a lot.
I really think, you know, musicians need to have this help and inspiration.
No question about that. It's always been and will continue to be.
Yeah.
And you're doing some great work by the sound of it.
Thank you.
I just wanted to mention briefly, I'm going to hold you over just for a minute or two here after our quiz question, because I have a question about this Chopin that we'll be hearing. But first, I wanted to reiterate that Olga Karin, my guest today during the midday, will be performing with the Madison Symphony this weekend. It's tomorrow night at 7:30, Saturday night at 8, and Sunday afternoon at 2:30, Overture Hall, an all-Russian concert, John Demain conducting, and Olga will be performing the relatively rarely heard Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto No. 1. Definitely worth hearing, though.
Oh, yeah.
Now, before you take off, Olga, as part of your busy, busy schedule, just tell us a little bit about the final movement of this Chopin Piano Concerto.
Yeah, this piece, I think it's just an incredible jewel of piano repertoire, and the final of the concerto is such a playful dance, a Polish dance in the way. And we recorded this concerto live with the Warsaw Orchestra when I was on tour with them here in the States, and we were in California in Orange County. And it was the end of our tour, and we already played like one body. We already felt each other so well that you would hear in the recording that, because there was no cuts, nothing, because it's a live recording from the concert, you can hear that, how well we feel each other and know each other already. And that
great.
Is very special for me, because
it doesn't always happen.
Exactly. And it was so much fun doing it, and this piece of music, this concerto, is just so special and so fun and exciting to perform.
And here it is, the finale of the Piano Concerto No. 1 in E minor by Chopin. Olga Kern is the pianist with the Warsaw Philharmonic in concert, conducted by Antony Witt. And pleasure having you.
Thank you so much.
Look forward to hearing. This is your third visit.
I know. It's always great. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.